you poured your heart out to those who cursed your name. When they cried, crucify him, you took all the blame. Lord, you poured your life out to those who pierced your hands. You said, Father, please forgive them, for they do not understand. Lord, teach me to die with Christ, be crucified. Let it no longer be I who lives, but let it be Christ who lives in me. And when my brother sins against me, Lord, help me to forgive. Let me lay my life down so that others may live in the fellowship of suffering. There's such a lot of pain, but to live is Christ, to die is gain. To live is Christ, to die is gain. My heart out to those who curse my name. When my love is rejected, I want to keep loving just the same. I want to pour my life out. Lord, let me be your hands, loving, healing, feeding, touching everyone that I can.
Teach me.
With Christ, be crucified. Let it no longer be I who lives. Let it be Christ who lives in me. When my brother sins against me, Lord, let me lay my life down so that others may live in the fellowship of suffering. There's such a lot of pain, but to live is Christ, to die is gain. To live is Christ, to die is gain. Let it no longer be I who lives. Let it be Christ who lives in me. Let it be Christ who lives in me. Let it be Christ who lives in me.
What a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms.
light the path grows from day to day, leading on the everlasting arms.
Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting
Till I could hear the beat. Our day is today, our moment is
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design radio broadcast for the 8th day of May, year 2022. I am your host, Pastor Dan, and the topic for today's broadcast is Roundtable Discussion with Keith and Dan. Keith will join us in about 20 minutes. We dedicate this broadcast to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the Great I Am. We also dedicate this broadcast to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yah or Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. Please note that I did not say Yiddish. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the program, Cymru Ymbeth. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces. And again, that's pastordan.net. The Daily Mail page there is where we put latest information, whether it's about current events, health issues, etc. And there's a lot coming out about health issues lately. So you might want to check that out from time to time. The homepage, of course, is where we have information on those who wish to help us out financially, and we do appreciate each and every one of you that do help us, and trust me, it is greatly appreciated. And basically, lifesavers, really. And thank you, Ella, for that feedback. I appreciate that. We are using a new system as of today, so again, I ask for your indulgence and patience as we work through the bugs and learning curve of this new system. It is working, testing it yesterday and the day before. It seems to be working very well, and according to Ella, the sound is coming through okay for today, so praise Yahweh for that. The new system is a bit taxing on the central processing unit of the computer, but not to the point where it should cause any problems. So, again, we ask for your patience as we work through all these different issues. This is a pretty much a one-man operation here as far as being a production engineer, sound engineer, programmer, and broadcaster all wrapped up into one. So it's a lot of hats to wear at the same time, and then try to keep your thoughts concentrated on the message and getting everything out here. But praise Yahweh, we are able to do it, and we will continue. And again, Keith is going to be calling in on Skype here in probably about 15 minutes or so. We are still testing the 813 number that I've been giving out to people as a possible call-in number. It does work, but we have a small bug to work out in that when we tested it, when I have a conference call that involves both the 813 number and Skype, the people on the 813 cannot hear the Skype people, and the Skype people can't hear 813, but I get to hear everybody. So if you're a sound engineer and have some idea as to what my trouble might be or what I've done wrong, or maybe it's not even capable of working, I don't know. But that's the bug we're working on. Once we get past that bug, then we will have an 813 area code phone number available for callers. If and that is for the people that do not have access to a computer, the internet, or Skype. So, again, if you are on Skype, you can contact us here at the station, as Keith is going to do. Now, what we have not tested is multiple Skype people calling at the same time. Now, that's a feature we will test, but as of this morning, we have not tested that. While we're waiting for Keith, I wanted to just talk a little bit about some of the current events that are going on and the trouble that we seem to be having. I'm on the phone constantly every single day with our brothers and sisters over the different issues of the day, of course. And there are plenty of them. but we're trying to maintain a very positive attitude and positive frequency amongst our people. We're in turbulent waters right now. And if you want an analogy, because the scripture tells us the last days would be as in the days of Noah, so we know that we're living through the horrendous fornication and law-breaking of Yahweh's law that we see around us, just as Noah and his family did, while we're building an ark. And our ark will be made up of you and me, ladies and gentlemen, the true believers in the Most High. As we network with each other, we share information, and the people of conscience out there that are building communities, building family farms again, reaching out, natural childbirth, not circumcising their boys, which is ritual mutilation. Okay? The number of people who are getting this message and understanding the importance of it is growing. Okay? Just as in the days of Noah, there is a righteous remnant. And even in the book of Luke, our Heavenly Father mentioned to us that his remnant would be a tiny flock, not the majority of these people. And so while we're going through this complete lunacy of so-called COVID, the so-called pandemic, which we know is bogus, it's showing us pretty much who's going to be part of that crowd. Okay, so as you look around, you can pretty much tell who the people are with either no brains or no balls, and certainly both of those categories are going to be people left out of the kingdom. I mean, that should be pretty self-evident, right? The Father told us, nothing that offends me will come into my kingdom, and Scripture tells us in many places that cowards will not make it, murderers, other words, abortionists, both those that perform it and those that get it done, those who are unrepentant. Remember, I'm talking about those who don't repent. Those that do repent, that's another category and another discussion. I'm talking about the unrepentant sinners. They're not going to be part of the kingdom. Cowards, liars, deceivers, murderers, fornicators, which is any sexual activity outside the laws of our Father is considered fornication. So race mixing, obviously fornication. Homosexuality, obviously fornication. Transgenderism, fornication. Pedophilia, fornication. Bestiality, animal sex, fornication. All right, it's pretty obvious. It's pretty self-evident. Fornication is any activity outside of his instructions or rules. And for the folks that don't get that, I mean, I'm sorry, but that's pretty, again, self-evident and obvious to anybody that's paying attention. The financial troubles continue, of course. If you're reading the different things, we're heading for a crash. When you print, well, they're not actually even printing it now. They're just generating it in digital computers. So when you start creating debt to the levels that we are right now, it's pure insanity, okay? So is this system going to collapse? Again, that's self-evident. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that one out. Yeah, of course it's going to collapse. It has to collapse. Greenspan, the Jew that was in the head of the Federal Reserve many years ago, wrote that it was planned that way. Okay, now all the mainstream people like to tout that Greenspan was somehow this brilliant guy, but he was just another despicable Jew that was put in charge of the Federal Reserve. He's not smart. None of those assholes are smart, okay? They're diabolical. They're conniving. They're great deceivers, and they all work together for a singular purpose. So in that regard, yeah. But to say that they're high IQ smart, no, they're not. Because if Jews were that smart, they wouldn't need to be so deceptive, would they? if they were that creative and smart, they could do all the things that are done in this world on their own. They wouldn't have to be experts at assassination, intrigue, espionage, bribery, spying, and stealing of private intellectual property. You wouldn't have to do those things if you were really that creative and that good. Whereas the white race, the Caucasian Israelites, we're the creators. And again, all you have to do is read the book by Charles Murray, Human Accomplishment. That's the title of the book, Human Accomplishment. It is a very thick book, and it's full of the accomplishments of mankind, and almost, I believe it's somewhere around 98 to 99% of what he has listed as human accomplishments were done by our people. Now, other people stole or borrowed our ideas and expounded on them and used them, but that's not who created it. It's much like automobile making, etc., in Japan. Everybody says the Japanese are better, 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 better. And nothing against our Japanese brothers and sisters out there, the people that occupy this earth. But the creativity was a man named Deming, who was an expert in quality control. And Deming, obviously a Caucasian, tried to get the American manufacturers to accept and utilize his quality control methods, and they scoffed at him, because by then already Jews had dug their heels in, and Jews don't care about that. All they care about is making money with as little input as far as quality and all that as they can get away with. And so Deming took his ideas to the Japanese, and they embraced it wholeheartedly, and therefore their quality of output, particularly in automobiles and things such as that, went skyrocketing upwards. So once again, people utilize what the white man develops and creates, but that does not give them the credit of developing it or creating it, okay? The mind of the creator was breathed into Adam, the first white man. Adam means to show blood in the face or blush. Okay, that creativity has gone down to his posterity, and so our people have been the accomplishers of great and many things. And again, we share that, just as it says Abraham would share and be a blessing to many nations, and we have been. And for those who return the favor, show appreciation, and honor Abraham, which is the white race, there's a blessing that goes both ways. Just as a Messiah in the book of Matthew, when he helped the lady who was not Israelite, whose daughter was ill, and he said that, yes, dogs don't deserve the children's bread, meaning the blessings and teachings of what our Father, when he walked this earth as Messiah, he said they don't deserve that. However, she would be getting a blessing because of her acknowledgement that she was a dog. When she said even dogs deserve scraps of crumbs from the master's table. And so he gave her a crumb. He didn't invite her to the table. He just said, here's some crumbs, you're right. And because of your acknowledgement of the hierarchy and the plan, I will give you a blessing. And so it goes throughout the world. When people behave properly and they do not turn against the Adamic people, they can be blessed. But if they do turn against us, then there is a curse that will follow. And a lot of people across the world right now don't seem to understand that that's what's going to happen. The curse, if you curse the white race, you're going to be cursed in return. It's going to get ugly, very ugly. Right now, the restrainer is still holding back our people for some reason. It's all part of Yahweh's plan. And our men at arms, our warriors, are like lions. They're caged. They're muzzled. But that's not going to be forever. The day of unleashing our men, the warriors of our race, is yet to come. So the enemy is glorifying itself as if they've accomplished great things, but all they are is counterfeiters. They just generate lots and lots of counterfeit money, so they're able to buy off the weak amongst us, the corrupt amongst us. The righteous warriors, that money is not going to buy them. And so the day will come when the righteous warriors will be turned loose on the wicked, as Malachi tells us and Obadiah tell us, and so does Ezekiel in chapter 25. So the three prophets of old told us that the day will come when the righteous sons of the Most High will gather up their weapons and come together and go after these people. I do want to keep reminding people, we're hearing a lot from like Ice Age Farmer and other people with pretty good channels out there. There are shortages. Now, not everywhere at the same time, but there are shortages starting to show up across the country. These are man-made shortages, obviously, just as the oil shortages of the 1970s that I lived through, that became very apparent that that was man-made. There was a Baptist preacher called Lindsey Williams who wrote two whole books about what he observed on the Alaskan pipeline and across America during that so-called energy crisis. In fact, his one book is called The Energy Non-Crisis, because there really was none. And the other book, I believe, is To Seduce a Nation. Very good books, by the way. And he talks about the fact that the oil shortages were always regional, and they were always created by the actions of this government and the corporations working with the government. Okay, so man-made shortages. And so it will be also with the idea of the food. Just as the pandemic only existed in the minds of people being led by a lying fake media. Okay, there was no pandemic. There never has been one from day one. It's all a creation of deceivers. So the fake news continues to be pumped out. It's hard to believe that anybody listens to those sons of bitches anymore. But some people do. It's very unfortunate, but some people do. Okay, I've told you that we are using Skype, and when Keith calls in, it'll be our first test run of that system here in a few minutes. The New World Order is not abated whatsoever. They're going full stream ahead, which is very similar to what the prophets told us, that Satan and his kids, knowing that their time is short, they will be... Hold on just a second here. Okay, I did not get a notification, so... Keith, can you hear me?
Yeah, loud and clear.
Okay, was this your first attempt?
Yes.
Oh, okay, I thought maybe I'd missed it. I usually get a beep or some kind of a notification, but it didn't, so fortunately I noticed... A little icon bouncing around here to tell me that you were calling in. So, fantastic. Well, you're coming in 5x5 on my end. How do I sound to you?
Sound great.
Oh, okay. So, praise Yahweh, it's working. Excellent, excellent. Well, I was just running over a few current events with the folks and telling them a little bit about some of the testing that we're doing on the system. Keith, you haven't been on in a while. I'm going to turn the mic over to you and let you fill folks in a little bit about what's been going on since you were last on.
Okay, great. I didn't hear what you were talking about before. I just kind of signed on the computer now. But happy Mother's Day to all the fine mothers out there that we have. It's the most important job in the world. And for those of you, I mean, most people who are regular listeners of this program understand that. But for those of you... women out there in the world who believe that your important job is your career or, your job at work trying to move through the corporate ladder, that's all nonsense told to you by the enemy. The most important job a woman has is a mother or taking care of the household or the family. Yeah, that's the most important thing. Sometimes, people get confused by that nowadays, Dan. They think it's important that they have a career. Nowhere in the Bible does it mention career, does it?
No.
If someone can find it for me, let me know.
No, there's nothing in there about guarantees of a career or a career being all that important. Nope.
I didn't think so. Oh, I'm sorry. That comes from the Jewish textbooks they give our kids in school.
Yes. The propaganda.
Yeah, the propaganda, right. Anyway, I hope everyone's doing well in these end times, which they are end times. If you don't believe that, you have no clue what's going on in this life. And I suggest you start studying up on it, because coming up here is going to be very critical for most people, especially our people. We're targeted. And I see lots of things on the horizon. I've changed some outlooks on certain things such as Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies. Let me just cover that real quick. For a long time, I wasn't sure about these cryptocurrencies. I didn't really understand much about them, so I told people to stay away from them because most people don't know much about them. They just go with the current trend. And the current trend was buying cryptocurrencies without any knowledge of what they are, what they do, blockchain. They have no knowledge of what the blockchain is, any of this stuff. So they were just buying this stuff at random, hoping to get rich quick. Well, here's my new outlook on cryptocurrency real quick, Dan, and the rest of you. And again, I don't give any financial advice because I'm not a financial advisor. I can just tell you what my new information that I've studied has come to change my thoughts on cryptocurrencies. Now, I believe that now, with the current information I've had and studied, I believe that if you're in a financial position to pick up some cryptocurrency, meaning that if you're not living paycheck to paycheck and you've got some extra dollars hanging around, I think in my current thinking that it's best to buy either Bitcoin or Ethereum, which are the two biggest ones, preferably Bitcoin. If you're going to delve into this, buy Bitcoin. I have since bought some myself, and I am using this as a long-term hedge against what they're going to do to the dollar and what they're going to do when they bring in the central bank digital currency. I believe that there'll be a alternative economy built on the back of Bitcoin. You people thought that the over is in. Okay? So there's going to be an alternative economy built, and I believe it's going to be built on Bitcoin because Bitcoin is the most well-known cryptocurrency out there. It's easy to buy, and it's easy to keep track of. And again, don't sink your entire life savings into this stuff, right? Okay? But if you have a couple extra bucks hanging around, my current thinking, as I said, is to buy Bitcoin. You need to do something with your money because it's being eaten up.
Hey, can I ask you a quick question?
I found. Sure.
Yeah. One of the main objections, I should say, or concerns of people with the crypto safe, let's say that. And what's your opinion about that? In other words, is this just some other thing that we'll get into and then find out that they can monitor every bit of it and control it and stab us in the back with it like everything else that's been around for a while? Or is it really truly autonomous? What's your opinion on that?
Well, they can monitor it. They can track down a Bitcoin address, right, to see who's done what. But that Bitcoin address isn't necessarily hooked up to a particular person's name, right? It's not under my name.
Okay.
Right, a Bitcoin address, from my understanding. Now, with that said, they can track anything they want, right? Who really knows? I just look at it as a place to put some extra dollars in. And I'm looking at it as a long-term investment, for lack of a better term. The money's got to go somewhere, right? The market is crashing. If you guys haven't realized, if you're not paying attention, the stock market has been crashing since about March 17th, 2020. Okay? It's coming down. Okay? Yeah, it went back up a little bit, but now it's coming down again, right? It's lots of volatility. The market's coming down again. All of the big banks now, all of the big fund managers now, are all the all these so-called experts in quotes, right? All of these experts are just letting the general public in on this now. Almost, there's like on Yahoo News, which I use for a news source. I scan the headlines every day there, and also Rents.com. But Yahoo News has now, for the past 2 weeks, has got financial disaster articles all over it. Okay, because now the mainstream is letting the dumbed down goyim in on the financial situation of the country and the world. And they're letting him on it now because they can't hide it any longer. Right? They cannot hide it any longer. It's all coming down. If I had any money in the stock market, which I do. I own marijuana stocks. I bought them a few years back again as just something to maybe have for the future. So when they legalize pot in this country, the stock should go up, right?
Right.
Okay. So I own some of that also. But that's it. I don't own any other companies. And I just, like I said, the pot stocks I own just as a, it's like a lottery ticket, right? Could be a get-rich-quick scheme, right? That's the way I looked at it. And I had some extra money, so I bought pot stocks about 4 or 5 years ago. And I just let the money sit in there. I don't look at them every day. I look at them probably once a month. And they're all down from when I originally bought in, but I just leave the money there to see what's going to happen. Okay? Not that I advocate it, but if you got some extra dollars laying around, I don't know, you got to put it somewhere because it's all coming down. The dollar is losing your purchasing power. Inflation is eating up your dollars. If you have dollars in the bank or underneath your mattress, you are losing money every day. So what I try to do is I try to make adjustments for that. And as I said before, I see cryptocurrency as doing that. And that's just my opinion, right? I'm no financial whiz. If you looked at my financial status, you'd be like, who the hell is this guy to give advice? He buys high and sells low. Right? But it's something that I just do. But anyway, as far as the blockchain security, Dan, like the question that you asked, coming back around to that point, I believe it's very hard to hack these things, right, to lose your money. And I believe that if you study the blockchain and what it is, I believe that you will agree with me that it's a thing that you can purchase. You'll be able to purchase items with. I mean, Gucci, that fancy designer company, Gucci, that a lot of these dumbed-down public like to buy $1,000 purses from for some reason to hold their car keys in. They're doing a test with Bitcoin in our country now in a few of their stores in the U.S. Okay, Goldman Sachs just allowed the first crypto type deal within their company, biggest predator bank in the world, right? Another company just allowed a company to use Bitcoin as collateral for a cash loan. Okay, funds are starting to open up with Bitcoin. You can now have Bitcoin, I believe, according to Fidelity Investments, which is one of the biggest companies in the world for 401ks, right? It's allowing people, I believe, to put Bitcoin in their 401k now. So all these things combined, along with studying the concept, where I actually went out and bought a book and read it and studied it, right? It's unusual, but I did it. I believe that all these things combined are pointing to one direction for Bitcoin, and that is up. Again, don't take any financial advice from me. I'm financially an idiot. That's the truth, guys. Okay? But I understand enough to know that it's right for me and my family. And that's the decision you have to make. With anything in life, you have to determine whether the decision that you're going to make, whether it be financial or anything health-wise, is right for you and your family. Forget about what anyone else says. Forget about what I say. Forget about what Dan says. You can take all these opinions and then take all the information that you've studied and formulate your own opinion and formulate your own plan that's best for your family. I'll leave that there, Dan.
Right. Right. Yeah, we present the material, put it on the table, and what people do with it is strictly their business. I was just curious because so many people are starting, even within my family and close friends, they're looking into the cryptocurrencies because everybody that has a brain that still functions is not completely sanitized by the propaganda, knows that the financial system is on the brink. So you've got to take their useless, whatever, their fiat currency system is going to go by the wayside. We know that. So you got to put it into something. And you don't put all your eggs in one basket. Okay? So, I'm getting a feedback here. It says that Keith is dropping off, having to restart each time. Not sure what that means, restart each time. But as far as I know, it's loud and clear. But anyway, go ahead. What were you going
to
say?
Yeah. I mean, according to my end, I've got a good connection. I've got no breakup coming through Dan or anybody. But who knows? It's what we have to do. You know, who knows? I don't know. Could be the guy's connection. It could be. But who knows what it is, right, Dan? We don't know.
Right.
Just deal with it. Nothing we can do.
Yeah. Well,
we don't own Skype.
Right? Exactly. And we don't even own any of the stuff in between. So the technology is allowing us to do the program, and, you know, praise Yahweh, we're able to use it for now. But we don't control it. So we're at the mercy of those that do. I just got an email from one of our listeners in Canada. He says that it's coming in very well. He respectfully disagrees about the cryptos. He thinks it's just another trap. Here's the caveat. We're not telling anybody to put all of their assets into any particular thing. Tangible assets. If you still have some laying around, what's the harm? If you've got an extra $100 or $200 and you put it in crypto, I know people that spend more than that going out to dinner on a weekend.
For clarifying that, because I don't get my point across clearly, but yeah, that's what you just said is what I wanted to say.
Right, it makes perfect sense. Again, and everybody I know, so that's good. Everybody I know has that opinion, okay? I don't know anybody that's running out and taking loans out to put $20,000 into crypto. I don't know anybody doing that. What they're doing, like my neighbor, who's a very good friend of mine, my grandson is doing this, my niece's husband's doing this. What they're doing is exactly what you said, Keith. They're taking some of their extra money that they may have gone out and bought, dinner at some goofy restaurant that's serving junk food to them, instead of going out and buying a bunch of high-priced drinks at the Jewish-run bar, they're taking 100 here or 50 there and putting it into different cryptocurrencies and just watching it to see how it behaves, how it works, just in case, if for nothing else, it's a learning experience. We should understand how all these things work. Just like you, when you're a child, mom and dad, my mom and dad took us up to a corner, and my dad had the pickup truck full of sweet corn, and me and my brother were stationed there to sell sweet corn so that we would learn about currency, about money, cash. And we learned how to make change and how to keep track of it. Back then it was safe. Today I wouldn't leave a couple young boys up along the road with cash in a little tin register. But back then nobody worried about it. We didn't have so many perverts running around in our country. But the point of it is that it was a learning experience to learn how the currency works amongst the common people at the time. And as the enemy is trying to destroy all the other possibilities, what's the harm of at least understanding how this one works? And like you said, take a little bit of your extra that's just laying around and get involved with it to learn about it and see what happens.
Yeah, what I do, Dan, is I take No, I don't care what the crypto market's doing, right? I don't have time to track this stuff. I don't have time to follow charts. I don't have time for any of that. So what I do is I make it very, very simple. I educated myself on it. I educated what it is, how it works, and tried to find some of the major players in it to find out what they do and what their thoughts are on this. And I take me and my wife, we take money every week, and I buy one of the four cryptocurrencies that I own. I spread that money out over the four, putting most of it, probably about 70% of it, and sent down through the cryptocurrencies. I can't remember how many it is right now. But don't use it as – don't try and pick a cryptocurrency that's going to be the next big thing. Okay, that's impossible to do. You have no insider information. All this, most of these coins that are coming out, these are pump and dump schemes. So you got to be careful. Again, my suggestion is to look at Bitcoin, start there, learn how it works, learn what it is, and then put all that information together that you gather. And if it's right for you and your family, go ahead. If it's not right, then don't do it. That's right. All I'm saying.
Right. Well, you know, the exact same thing could be said about gold and silver. Okay? You don't just ignorantly go out and buy gold and silver. You should understand how the spot price works, what the local commodities in equivalent gold and silver per ounce is going for, etc. Okay? So no matter what kind of, quote, currency that we're talking about, there is a learning curve, okay? Now, gold and silver, obviously, is not anywhere near as steep as learning how crypto works. But the point of it is you can't go into anything ignorantly. It's like the, I think Mark Dice or somebody like that with one of these huge platforms, he went out on the street one day and offered people a silver dollar, a Morgan silver dollar, for their candy bar or some ridiculously cheap thing that they had in their pocket, and they said, oh, no, thank you. They didn't even know that a Morgan silver dollar at the time he did it was worth, I think, as much as $50 or something like that. I can't remember. But it was way more.
He's done that before. Yeah, done that before real quick with gold coins too, and the dumbed-down public don't understand.
Right. That's what I mean. Ignorance is amazing today. I mean, you wouldn't trade a candy bar for even a 1 ounce round of silver, let alone a tenth of an ounce gold. I mean, that just shows you the ignorance level today. It's unbelievable. So whatever form of, and again, currency is a storage of value. If that's what one of the best presenters that I've listened to lately stated. It's whatever the people at the local level, whatever is a store of value for the local people. Like I used to talk about Ithaca, New York, created its own currency for decades, and it worked extremely well, and it was called Ithaca Hours. And the value of an Ithaca Hour was based on the value of a blue-collar worker's time or labor for 1 hour. Okay, so a plumber. So if a plumber typically is getting $20 an hour, then the Ithaca hour was based on that. It was worth approximately $20. And there, for decades, Ithaca and 50 or 60 other communities across America that I checked out were all using local currency amongst the local businesses, and it was working wonderfully. Because, again, it was outside of the Jewish banking cartel so that they could operate any way they wanted. And it was, I don't remember if it was taxed or not. It probably was not taxed. It's very similar to some of the Patriot groups that I used to go to. People would take their worthless Federal Reserve notes. They would cash it in for silver coins. Then they would go into the event, and everything they bought with their silver coins, no tax involved. And when they left, they converted whatever was left of their silver coins back into useless Federal Reserve notes. So again, you know, if we put our brains to use on how to circumvent Babylon, there's lots of ways of doing it. Back to you.
Yeah, that's going to be more important coming up here as these countries start releasing their central bank digital currencies. Okay, we all know what's happening here. COVID's not going away. Vaccine passports are not going away. Vaccines are not going away. And central bank digital currencies are not going away. They're actually accelerating all this stuff. Most idiots were distracted with this. I don't even know what it is going on in the Ukraine over there. I don't even look at it because who knows what's going on over there, right? I mean, if this was a true war, I think Russia would have wiped Ukraine off the map already, wouldn't they have, in a day?
Oh, yeah.
So who the hell knows what's going on over there? But you're going to need – when the central bank digital currency comes out, here's what's going to happen. You're going to need to get a vaccine in order to use it. So you better find an alternate way. Okay?
To
be able to purchase things. And I believe that there's enough people out there who are anti-vaccine and anti this COVID agenda, more the vaccine than the COVID agenda, that there's going to be an alternative economy that opens up. Whether it's going to be gold, silver, whether it's going to be cryptocurrencies, I have no idea. But all I know is that there'll be an alternative community opening up because people like me and like Dan and lots of others out there are not going to take any vaccine. None. You're going to have to come, hold me down, and basically kill me in order to take that vaccine. So you got to start thinking outside the box here, guys. That's all I'm saying.
Right.
That's basically my new take on cryptocurrency. And in 4 or 5 months, that could my outlook could change on it, right? The more information I get, you can never stay stagnant in your education of the world. Okay, forget about the education at school. That's all bullshit, right? That's all nonsense. But the education of the world, which is what Dan's regular listeners and me and Dan do, we understand how the world really works, not this fantasy clown world presented to the public. Okay, so you need to constantly gather information, and once you gather more information every day for different aspects of your life, you need to compile that information and then take action. And it can completely a 180 from what you previously thought because you've gathered more information. People who don't search out information and stay stagnant in life, they actually aren't stagnant in life. They're actually going backward in life. Okay? Take the housing market now, Dan. People are going to be in big trouble. The houses, okay, are being bought. All the housing. It's not being really bought by regular people anymore. It's being bought by hedge funds. It's being bought by real estate investment firms. I've got an article here, Dan, because I want to stay on the kind of the financial thing for one more article here. We started with cryptocurrency. Now we're going into this. Here's the title of the article from Yahoo News. And this is constant, guys. There's a company out there, and I forget the name of the company as of now, but they own 80-something thousand. Did you hear that number? Not 80. Not 800, 80,000 single-family homes.
Yeah.
That's a staggering number. And that's right. Just one company. And here's what the companies are doing. Goldman Sachs-backed rental fund buys entire community of 87 single-family homes in your neck of the woods, Dan, Central Florida. Guys, The rental fund bought all the homes in the new community that was being built. They bought every single home.
Well, Klaus Schwab, the Jew, told you what was coming. You'll own nothing. You'll be renters forever, and you'll be happy for it.
Right. That's what I'm getting at. This is all tied together.
Well, you know, that's why.
All tied together, Dan.
Yep, I'm looking into the purchasing of agricultural land and just putting a Quonset hut up on it. getting back to like our ancestors who learned how to live out of Conestoga wagons. The Scythians, by the way, the word Scythian means those that travel in covered wagons. So the covered wagons were not something new to Western America in the 1800s. Covered wagons go back thousands of years to our ancestors, because back in those days, that was equivalent to a motorhome today. They lived in these wagons that were covered, and they were basically homes. Within that wagon was where they slept, and they kept their food and their water and their weapons, etc., and they were on the move. So, you know, our ancestors learned how to live off the land and to improvise long ago, and so we're going to have to do it again. At least that's my opinion. Over to you.
Well, yeah, here I just skimmed this. I skim articles, but I don't read the whole thing because I don't have time, but I look at headlines. But here's the homeowners, right? They said 80,000 homes. The name of that company is called Invitation Homes. They're the largest owner of single-family residential properties in the U.S., with a portfolio of more than 80,000 homes. American Homes for Rent expects to build between 2,100 and 2,400 new single-family rental properties just this year, adding to its portfolio of more than 57,000. One called Flagship Interval Fund has $851 million in real estate assets. So what's happening is these big companies, I don't know where they're getting the money from, right? I don't know where this money comes from, but they're buying up all the homes. And why are they doing this? They're the rents to their family unless they live with three or four other families. Do you see what's happening here, people? Okay, yeah, as Dan said, Klaus Schwab, the Rothschild agent and family member, already told you this. You will own nothing. And people think that he is kidding when he says this, or he's exaggerating. He's not exaggerating. He is not kidding. Remember, these serpent seed demons in shoe leather have to tell you there's some weird universal law that they have to tell you what they are going to do before they do it. But most people aren't paying attention. So come here in the future, in the very near future, you will not be able to afford a rental home. So those of you who are in rental houses right now, I don't know what you're going to do. I really don't know what you're going to do, because your rental house will be sold to one of these big companies. They will, when your lease comes up, let's say you're paying $1,000 now for your rental house that your family's in. When your rental home is sold to one of these big companies, or the landlord decides to, when your lease is up, raise your rent, they're probably going to raise that rent to $1,500 a month from $1,000, 25% raise. So, or whatever the number is. I'm not a math guy, right? You understand what I'm saying here.
Right, 50%, right.
Right, so how are you going to afford to pay that? What are you going to do with your family? What are you going to do with your family? I tell you what you're going to do. You and the other people down the street are going to have to move in together. This is where this is all going. Remember, they told you, you will own nothing.
Well, there's also there's another aspect to this that's going to play into this, Keith, and that will be, these are all Jewish-run corporations. And so a stipulation as a tenant will be that you show your vaccination card.
Oh, good point, because it's too dangerous to have you in the house without being vaccinated to the neighborhood.
Right. They're doing this to the Chinese right now. So they test everything on large groups of Chinese first. They're doing it over there right now. So that will be what the Jews do here as well. They will stipulate that not only are you going to pay an exorbitant amount, just like the Shylock landlords in New York were famous for decades and decades and decades, they will raise the rents ridiculously high, but they will also put stipulations on it. And one of them, you can count on it, will be, for our safety, of course, that you be vaccinated.
I didn't even think about that aspect of it, Dan. Wow. God, I'll have to think about that today. Because you're right. So it's...
Yeah, they're corralling us like a herd of cattle. That's what they consider us, just herd animals. That's what goyim means. They're herding us in that direction every week with new idiot policies, and they always go through the back door. While they've got the media distracting you with war in Ukraine and food shortages and a fake pandemic, in the back door, they're creating things like what you just talked about, these huge corporations with all this new created money, which doesn't exist except in computers, but they're actually buying hard assets, people's homes, communities, factories, businesses. I've got friends of mine who are in the ammo and the firearms business, and they're telling me it's getting harder and harder to get the components. Okay, so they don't do an outright ban of weapons and ammunition. What they do is they find the Achilles heel. And, for instance, I'm a reloader. I know how to reload ammunition. One of the key components to reloading and making ammunition is what we call the primer. The primer is what makes the bullet work. When the firing pin hits the primer, it creates a very intensive flame, very fast and intense to ignite the gunpowder. Without the primer, your weapon's ammunition won't work. So what are they doing? They're clamping down on the production and importing of primers. So you can get all the brass you want, you can get all the gunpowder you want, you can get all the bullets you want, but you can't find primers. This is how they work. The average person walking the street doesn't have a clue what the hell a primer is. So when they hear that, oh, there's a shortage of primers, they just go about playing their computer games and sticking their thumbs up their asses because they don't have a clue what that means, okay? But those of us that know how to reload, we know that that's a crucial component, and that what they're doing effectively is limiting the production of ammunition. The same way that they're trying to get the guns, not directly. They've given up on that. That's all a diversion. They're buying up the gun manufacturing companies, these Jews, with all this helicopter money created under your noses. They're buying up the companies that produce the weapons. So they're not going to care what your congressman does. They don't care what the Second Amendment does because they sit on top of the corporations. So what they'll do is just simply say, we're only going to sell to our buddies in law enforcement. We'll only sell to buddies in the military-industrial complex who are all part of their scheme. But you, the average citizen, oh, no, we're sorry, but we're not going to be able to sell to you. You can see how they're headed in that direction right now. Over to you.
Yeah, that's how it works. That's how it works. If you guys don't understand this, and again, when I say you guys, I'm talking about people who might stumble across this, who are somewhat waking up or not awake at all, and they come across this and maybe start to think a little bit. So, yeah, this is what they're doing. So I suggest, here's another suggestion for you. And again, these are just suggestions to get you to think. If your lease is coming up in your rental home, you better figure out an alternative plan. It happened to my brother. My brother was renting a house. He was paying $1,700 a month, which was expensive, but that's what it costs where he lives. He was paying $1,700 a month in rent to rent a home. And the owner sold the home because the real estate market has gone up so much. Can you blame the owners of the home for selling it? Of course not. If I owned rental properties, I would have unloaded them all in the past year and come out with a ton of money, but I don't own rental properties, so that's the point is moot. But anyway, so he had to move. So he had a problem with the move because he couldn't find a rental house to rent. He finally found one in an okay neighborhood for, get this, Dan, $2,300 a month.
Oof. Wow.
$600 more than he was paying for the same size house. Do you understand what's happening yet with that example? Okay?
Oh, yeah.
So please, people, you gotta forget about this Ukraine-Russia war. They've got all these the people out there worried about this Ukraine-Russia war and the threat of nuclear war. Have you noticed how many news articles are about nuclear war? Who cares? That should be the least of your worries. Nuclear war should be the least of your worries. The chances of that happening are so slim that it's not even worth even thinking about. The only people put this stuff out are the fear mongers, like Mike Adams, Steve Quayle, all these fear monger people to get you to buy their freeze dried food, right? They put out these stories of nuclear war and their iodine they sell and all this other bullshit, right? So forget about nuclear war. Forget about all that crap. Who cares, right? You can't do anything about it anyway. You can only be concerned about things you can control in your life. Nuclear war, you can't control. You can't control what country these psychos bomb. Okay, you can't control any of that. But you can control where you live, and you can control what your plan is going to be when your lease comes up. Okay? But you're worried about nuclear war. Give me a break.
Well, not only that.
Who cares anyway? Hopefully, I hope they launch a nuclear war and destroy this whole place. Are you kidding me? Then we're closer to our king coming back. Do you understand?
They're not going to.
That's the way I look at that.
Yeah, they're not going to do that anyway. Number one, I don't personally believe in the existence of nuclear weaponry. And number two, if they did exist.
I don't believe in it either, Dan.
Yeah, and if it did exist, they won't use it because it'll destroy the infrastructure that they want to keep. So, it's.
Of course.
It's a moot point, no matter which way you look at it. As you said, things you have no control over, why worry about it, you know? And to leave this sick, demented world means to be with the Father and all the people that passed over already. So, okay, send me to that great reunion hall, or as our ancestors used to call it, Valhalla. Okay, send me to Valhalla, and I'll go and toast and sit around with my ancestors that are on the other side while you all struggle with this hell that we call Earth down here.
Yeah, I mean, nuclear war, oh my God. I remember being in school as a kid, Dan, growing up in the 70s and 80s. And we had the nuclear war drills where you'd hide underneath your desk. Are you kidding me?
Right.
Right. Remember that nonsense?
Oh, I remember.
Like, yeah. Underneath your school desk is going to save you from a nuclear bomb. I mean, this is comical nonsense. Who believes this stuff? And if the whole thing with nuclear weapons, and I don't want to discuss, because this is a whole other show in itself, right, discussing if nuclear weapons exist, but here's my thoughts on it. We all know that Nagasaki and Hiroshima were not destroyed by atomic or / nuclear weapons. You know how we know that? It's very, very simple. You take Chernobyl and Fukushima, right, nuclear so-called disasters that happened there. Well, those places are inhabitable to this day, right? Well, Hiroshima and Nagasaki were rebuilt within like 5 years.
Right.
Now, how did that happen if it was nuclear atomic bombings? It'd be uninhabitable to this day.
Right.
But it was rebuilt in 5 years and people were living there. That's how you know.
Right.
You got to start thinking, guys. You have to start thinking. Well, common sense tells you these things.
Right. And it starts with what we used to call in the nuclear business a questioning attitude. And we were taught all the time to have a questioning attitude. It's kind of strange that in nuclear power, they were teaching that while the mainstream public schools and the fake mainstream media was telling you go back to sleep and don't question anything. But in nuclear power, because of its inherent dangers and risks, we were taught to question everything. So both professionally and in my faith, I learned at an early age to question everything, starting also with the Vietnam War, which I was unfortunately part of. I learned that you have to question everything you're hearing. because I learned way back then, right out of high school, that the media was lying about what the United States military was doing and what was going on in Vietnam. So right out of the chute, I knew that the news media would not tell you the truth about anything. And they've never disappointed me since I made that conclusion. They have been liars and deceivers ever since.
Yeah, I mean, so I don't know if they have nuclear weapons now or not. All I know is I can go back in history and look at, like I said, Hiroshima and Nagasaki and call bullshit on the whole thing. Okay, I don't know what they have now, right? I'm not in deep-level military bases. And I don't claim to be a former CIA guy or NSA guy like some of these fear-mongers have on their shows. You ever notice, Dan, how many people claim that they're former CIA and all of a sudden they had a turn of attitude now that they're out and retired with their pension, that they come out and talk about all the nonsense that goes on? These guys are bullshit artists, all of them. Anyway, that's my thought on that. Anyway, let's move on to a new – I'm covering a lot of ground here because we don't have a lot of time and I've got a lot to say, Dan. So we're going to move on to a different topic if you don't mind.
No, go ahead.
And this goes back to – well, all these topics are related, okay? So, but we're just moving on to a different aspect of this grand conspiracy that's taking place against our people and the other people and creatures worldwide. So we are in end times. I think we can all – anybody with a brain that still works and who has some sort of knowledge on how the world works and of, you know, things of that nature – understand that we're in end times. There's no question. There's no doubt. There's no question. There's no – it's a positive. I'm 100% positive as most – we are in end times. So here's how we know this. The Bible is true. Prophecy is true. Christ's words are true. The prophet's words are true. If you don't believe this, then you – I don't know what to tell you. You're going to be in big trouble. Let me start here, Dan. Matthew 24:19. Crack your Bibles open. Don't crack it. Let me see. Hold on. Let me rephrase that. Take your Bible off the shelf. Dust it off. Okay, because I know you haven't opened it. Dust it off and open it up to Matthew 24:19. Here we go, Dan. You ready? And I'm going to read a simple translation. All the translations say the same thing, but this makes it easy for people to understand. I'll read three different translations of this verse. New International Version, again, Matthew 24:19, talking about Christ is telling us what's going to happen in end times. New International Version. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. New King James Version. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. And finally, I'll read the King James Bible. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. So, Christ is warning. God forbid you are pregnant or nursing a baby in these end times. And what are we seeing? Here we go. You ready for this news article? Nationwide baby formula shortage hits shocking levels, sparking panic among parents. A nationwide shortage in baby formula is worsening, according to a new analysis, as parents have expressed alarm over the worrying trend. Guys, most women nowadays don't breastfeed because they believe that the Jews who tell them that baby formula is good for their babies feed their babies baby formula, even though it's poison in a bottle. It actually injures your child. It does nothing for their immune system, does nothing for their health. But this is what the women do nowadays for some reason, so it is what it is. Guys, at retail locations across the United States, about 40% of – Did you hear that number? About 40% of the top-selling infant formula products were not in stock. Their babies are going to starve to death. Do you get this? What's happening? Christ told us this was going to happen, Dan, didn't he? I just read it.
Yeah, he did. He did give that warning.
And now there's a news article saying there's no baby formula on the store shelves. Guys, this is it. While you're distracted by the Ukraine war and phony pictures coming out of that area, there's no baby formula on the shelves. Here's what woman said, this lady, a parent in San Francisco. We've tried all the local Targets. We checked Costco, Costco Online, Walgreens, Long's. We can't find baby formula anywhere. Now, along with the baby formula shortage, which is caused by supply chains, right, numerous other things, here's what's also happening with the baby formula. A lot of it is being recalled because of supposed bacterial illnesses in infants. So they're recalling the baby formula, which is going to cause it to be more short. They have a shortage already. Have you noticed that it's the same thing they're doing with the food, the meat in this country? What are they doing? The supply chain broke the food chains, right? But now what's also happening is they've got this bird flu, supposedly. So they're killing all the chickens. Do you see what they're doing? Or they're recalling the meat because it's bacteria. Do you see how it's all related, guys? Dan, over to you.
Yeah, you're 100% right. And here's the good news, though. The good news is none of these things affect true believers. Okay? Number one, a true believer would be a mother who wants to have a baby naturally. And I've got several sources, personal people that I know that have put out tremendously good information about how terrible the way we birth children today is. So the people that are getting back to basics and biblical principles, these things don't affect them because they're going to birth their babies at home naturally. They're going to give suck to their children, and they're going to be organic eaters themselves. So their baby is going to get colostrum. Their baby's going to get the antibiotics. Their baby's going to be emotionally grounded and have an attachment to their parents, unlike the hospital-born children for the most part. They're not going to circumcise their boys and commit mutilation of the male children, okay? And they're not going to be getting their foods from these big box stores controlled by the Jews anyway. They're going to be growing their own food or dealing with local markets. You see my point? The people that are paying attention to what the prophets told us and what the signs of the times are, there is your, quote, salvation that Father talked about. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The truth is, the big box stores are poisoning you with artificial foods, dyes, chemicals, and sugars. The medical mafia is not doing it right. The modern way of marriage and the modern way of childbirth is incorrect. So the people who are making changes in their lifestyles and their eating habits and diet are going to have some sort of protection against the very things you're talking about. Back to you.
Yeah, I mean, this is a serious situation because most mothers nowadays, and I don't know the reason why, right? I'm not an expert on mothers' breasts and things like this, but maybe someone can answer this. I don't know if we have an email or a chat or whatever, but to you mothers out there, why aren't mothers breastfeeding their children?
Because they follow the fads. They trust
their
doctor.
That's where all the nutrients are.
Right, but they trust their doctors. They're the people that believe in the, quote, science and the medicine. And the doctor said that your formula is going to have so much more than your milk. Well, that's because you don't eat a good diet, lady. So the formula may actually be better in that case. But you can't say that to a lady who's eating organically and gets exercise and maintains a proper body weight and general good health. There's no way a formula can surpass the mother. Not only that, there's no colostrum in formula. And as my son, who is an internal digestive tract so-called expert these days because of the issues he had as a boy, and I also learned a lot about it because of his issues, when we're born, mother's milk, the first 2 to 3 days, mother's milk has colostrum, antibiotics, and other hormones and enzymes in it to trigger the digestive tract of the baby. So it's kicking in its immune system. It's kicking in its digestive system. It's doing all these wonderful things. Not only that, but a lot of people don't understand this. When the baby crawls up the mother's belly, that's stimulating the abdomen to release the placenta. And as it crawls up to find her breasts, it's massaging. And when the baby clamps down on mom, that triggers a clamping down of the uterus, which shuts off the bleeding. All these things are intertwined by nature. And when you disrupt all that, you're interfering with it. So, I mean, we do everything ass backwards today. It's just, in my 68 years of walking this earth, I am astounded that we even exist with all of the errors that we have incorporated in our daily lives. It's just amazing how many things we do wrong. I put out a challenge, Keith, many years ago, 22 and a half years ago when I started this show. I want somebody who knows the Bible to please contact me and tell me what laws of our Father we are not violating. Because as I read it, we're violating virtually every ordinance that he gave us. Back to you.
Hence why we're in such trouble.
Yeah, amen.
I mean we follow so-called man's law, not God's law. Well, that's because most of these people who go to these, you know, so-called churches, which you're not even supposed to go to church, right? It's ridiculous. But they go to these churches, and the pastor's up there telling them all the wrong information in life. And they believe this idiot in front of the congregation about all these everything. Anyway, I'll end this article with this. We've been tracking this over time, the baby formula shortage, and it's going up dramatically. Rate is being affected. I'll end that topic there. I'll end it with this. Here's my advice to you if any mothers are pregnant out there or have a little baby. I suggest you learn about breastfeeding your child. Forget about what your idiot doctor tells you.
Amen.
Start working on that today.
Amen.
Okay?
We got a note from Ralph up in Canada. Let me read it real quick, okay, Keith?
Great.
Yeah, he says, my only advice I can give is if at all possible, find a way to get out of the cities and into the country and find a place that has a lot of trees around to be able to cut wood and has a good water well. Even if times were great, watching how it worked.
Well, how am I going to go my job here? Ralph doesn't know what to tell you. That's your problem. I don't know what to tell you, but that's the best option. I wish I could do it. I can't do it. Okay, so I don't know what to tell people there, but Ralph gives good advice. Follow his advice if you can. And if you can't, I don't know. I guess we have to pay the consequences then when the time comes. So, Dan, moving on. New topic. I thought this was rather interesting. You with me, Dan?
Yes.
I just thought I heard a hang up. Never mind. So this is interesting here. And this is setting the precedent for something that could be very dangerous. And this is about courts and judges and lawsuits. And I don't know how this came about, but this is a completely different topic, but I just want to touch on it real quick because this could affect many of our people in the future for people who are looking to gain access to financial settlements through our court system by suing you. This is unbelievable. Michigan car owner sued after Jeep kills mechanic during oil change. Dan, let me read that headline again. Michigan car owner sued after Jeep kills mechanic during oil change. So you might be thinking that the guy ran over the mechanic as he was pulling in, right, to the bay or something like that, or ran him over in the parking lot, right, by accident. Mm-hmm. Now, here's what happened. A Michigan man who left his car at a dealership for an oil change and tire rotation is being sued after his vehicle was involved in the death of one of the dealership's employees. Here's what happened. After the service was complete, the car is in the bay, right? Okay, it's in the bay. The oil change was just done, and the service attendant goes over to get in the car to pull it out of the bay. After the service was complete, the vehicle lurched forward as the young employee attempted to operate it, crushing 42-year-old mechanic Jeffrey Hawkins against the cabinet, court records show. Thompson had lowered the Jeep from the vehicle lift and then tried to start the car and let it idle to ensure that there were no oil leaks around the filter. Thompson reached into the vehicle and pressed the brake with his right foot. He pressed the start button. The vehicle did not start. He took his foot off the brake and depressed the clutch pedal. He again hit the start button. This time the Jeep started. He pulled it from the clutch. The vehicle lurched forward. Okay, so do you understand what happened here, everybody? I hope you do. But the person's family, I guess the mechanic who was killed, is suing the owner of the vehicle.
Yeah.
And the case is being allowed to go to court. So if I drop my car off at the local Jiffy Lube and I'm sitting in the waiting room and the mechanic doesn't want to drive the car and it lurches forward and kills somebody, they can sue me.
Yeah,
ridiculous. Do you understand how dangerous this is?
Yeah. Well, we live in a dystopic world in every category. So
here's the other, but this is also a weird thing too, because the guy Thompson, the mechanic, didn't know how to drive a vehicle's manual transmission and did not have a license. What kind of an auto mechanic doesn't know how to drive a manual transmission? This is who they're hiring?
Yeah, it's shocking to me how many people today have no clue on how a clutch and manual transmission work. They have no clue whatsoever.
So here's the dangerous part of this, Dan. Okay? Picture this. When you hand your car over to anybody, including a valet or the person at the service desk at your local dealership, you better be able to trust that person, the attorney said, or they're going to sue you, round or in control of at the time.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Oh, I mean, that will give you something to think about later on today. All right, so you better be aware that if you hand your vehicle, let's say you go to a nice restaurant at night, and you hand your vehicle keys over to the dopey valet outside of it, and he takes off in your car and kills someone in the parking lot, I believe that you can be sued now over the valet's actions because it was your car.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. The amount of insanity today never ceases to amaze me.
Clown world. I mean, this is unbelievable. But I found that article interesting. I figured I'd present it this morning because that's how insane this world is getting. I mean, next it's going to be if your car is parked in a parking spot and some guy's walking, looking at his phone and not paying attention and walks into your car and breaks his leg or something or injures himself, he's going to sue you because you parked your car.
Well, they're going after the easiest target. The big corporations can afford a team of lawyers to protect their interests, which the average person, of course, doesn't. So they're scoundrels. They're just basically thieves. okay?
Yep.
They're just thieves. And again, it gets back to the people who founded this country 200 and almost 50 years ago. This country was established for a moral people, because the average person here, even if they weren't, quote, devout Christians, they were at least deists and believed in a creator father. And they believed in a moral code, very, very close to the, quote, standard Christian ethics. So this country operated off of those biblical principles. The people today are the complete opposite. We're no longer a moral nation, with the average person believing in the biblical scriptures and the author of those scriptures being Yahweh our Father. Okay? They're not in that category. They believe that they are gods unto themselves. They have fallen for the same lie that the Nakash two-legged serpent whispered into Eve's ear in the garden back in the book of Genesis. It's exactly the same thing. Oh, you don't have to listen to that. You can be a god unto yourself. Look what Lucifer, Satan, whatever you want to call the adversary, it doesn't matter to me. Look what the adversary has done to the women in our Western nations today. They're unrecognizable. Even in my lifetime, the average woman and her attitude and the way she behaves and operates, just in my lifetime, has changed almost 180 degrees. When I was a boy, and my mother practiced this, my father was the head of the household. I can tell you, there was only one time in my entire childhood where my mother crossed my father in public. One time only, in front of us kids. In front of us children. At no time during our entire childhood did she counter my father in front of family or outsiders, ever. She took it to the bedroom that night, because I asked her when I got to be an adult. I said, when did you and Dad never fought? She goes, sure we did, but we kept it to ourselves. When everybody else was asleep in bed, we would have our discussions with the doors closed in the master bedroom. Okay, so we've gone from women who respected the authority of the man in the home, respected the duties of a mother, respected the privilege and honor of raising the next generation, and what a great responsibility it is. We've gone from that to what we have today, which is the Eves of Genesis. We can be gods unto ourselves. We can decide what's right or wrong based on our own feelings of the day, and we have become men haters. We've become antithesis to patriarchy. We are against all forms of authoritarianism, except they're more than willing to be whores to the corporations for the paycheck. They have no problems being whores to the corporate managers that tell them what to do. They got no problem with that. They just rebel against the idea of a man at the local level, being a husband, a boyfriend, or whatever, telling them anything. But they got no problem going into the courtroom, going into the corporate offices, going into industry, and allowing their superiors there to lord over them and tell them to do all kinds of nonsensical bullshit for a paycheck. So again, lunacy today, and again, lunacy. Why? Because we are in rebellion against our Father. Back to you.
Yeah, we sure are. That's the truth. It's hard to believe that we're at this stage. It really is hard to believe, but we're here, so we have to deal with it, right? Nothing else we can do. You got to face what comes your way. And as Paul wrote in Paul's writings in the Bible, stay in the race, right? You got to win the race. Stay until the end, right? Something to that effect. I'm paraphrasing there, but
right.
Go find. I believe it's in a Romans. I don't know. I could be wrong there, but he says stay in the race to win. Right? You got to stay in life. You have to encounter what's brought your way, and you have to overcome the difficulties. Remember, this life is a test. This is why you're here. You're not here to sit around and watch 12 hours of football every weekend and drool on yourself as you stuff your fat face with chicken wings and beer.
Right.
Most people think that's why you're here, but I'll tell you, I know for a fact that's not why you're here.
Right.
Okay, so you better figure that out too.
What you're talking about is in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith.
Thank you. That's what I was getting at. Yeah. Well, what was that, Dan? Timothy what?
2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7.
Very good, guys. Go read that later on to your family. Okay, when times get tough, and times are going to get... People think it's tough now? You've seen nothing yet. Wait. Okay, you've seen nothing yet. Moving on here, Dan, I think we'll finish with maybe this topic. Then I've got some good news, an article about good news to end with. But all of you people who are, you know, have Ukraine flags next to your Facebook page and, you know, wearing shirts that have the Ukrainian flag on it. And, you know, all you people want to tell how bad Russia is and how it's so horrible, this, that, and the other thing, what's going on in the Ukraine. You're the same people who can't even find Ukraine on the map. So shut your mouth, okay? Stop being stupid. Pay attention to what's really important. And here's what's really important. COVID is not going anywhere, as I've been telling people since March 17th of 2020. It's not going anywhere. It's going to be here. And that was the start of the complete breakdown of the acceleration of the breakdown of society. Okay, that was the start of it, I believe. Article that came out, this article came out yesterday. They're talking about COVID-19 seems to be all over the Yahoo News headlines again. The Ukrainian war for the past 2 days hasn't really been at the top of the Yahoo News page. Maybe one article instead of six. Now what they're doing is they're ramping up the COVID articles and they're taking the Ukraine articles away. And here's why. Remember, they always have to tell us, these serpent bastards, demons in shoe leather, always have to tell us what their next step is going to be. Okay? Like 9/11, right? They told us in the films, such as The Simpsons episodes and Back to the Future, among numerous other of their media, told us that 9/11 was going to happen. Okay, COVID. They told us that COVID was going to happen. There's a Dean Koontz novel that mentioned it that was written in 1983. There was a couple TV shows from the 70s and 80s that mentioned coronavirus specifically. Okay, we had all the pandemic movies that the criminal Jews put out in Hollywood, right, about the pandemics that were here to come. Well, now we're here in it. Remember, they always tell you what they're going to do. So here's an article, COVID. The headline is from the New York Times, the paper of record, right? The White House is stepping up its warnings about a coronavirus surge this fall and winter and is making contingency plans for how it will provide vaccines to the American public if Congress does not allocate more money for the COVID-19 response. Okay, so they just told us in the first sentence of this article that there's going to be a surge, a massive surge in COVID-19 cases. It goes on to say, the Biden administration is preparing for the possibility that 100 million Americans, roughly 30% of the population, will get infected with the coronavirus this fall and winter. According to the administration official who spoke on condition of anonymity. Okay, so did you hear what they just told you? Pay attention to what they tell you. Okay, there's one article. Here's another one about this. Omicron caused spike in deaths in vaccinated people, analysis finds, though unvaccinated remain most at risk. Did you hear that headline title? What do you call that? What, double talk?
An oxymoron.
What is it called? Oxymoron, right. Let me read that again. Omicron caused spike in deaths in vaccinated people, though unvaccinated remain most at risk. Okay? Guys.
Cognitive dissidence, man. They're telling you something that's just patently false and doesn't even follow logic at all.
Here's the first lines of the article. That was headline, and here's the first sentence. The Omicron variant of coronavirus that causes COVID-19 that has swept across the U.S. since late last year has taken a grimmer toll than earlier variants, including people who are vaccinated and even had booster shots. So this wintertime, everything's converging. Right? What we've been talking about, or what I've been talking about and Dan's been talking about for at least 2 years now. Let's just take it to March 2020. Okay? This is it. This is it. And they're bringing it back this wintertime. They gave you guys a little bit of a reprieve, right? They got you interested in the Ukraine-Russia conflict, which, again, most people can't even point out where Russia and Ukraine are on the map. And they have no clue where it's even located. Hell, they don't even know where Australia is located on a map, let alone the Ukraine. So they gave you a little bit of a reprieve and a little bit of excitement with the threat of nuclear war and got you distracted a little bit. So you would think that COVID's going away and it doesn't exist anymore and you don't need to wear your mask anymore. And, oh, COVID's over. They're not going to require us to get vaccinations. Well, I hate to break the news to you. COVID never ended. They just gave you a little break. Wasn't that nice of them? And they gave you a little bit of break to ramp everything up. The supply chains are so broken. Going on in China, all I can do is tell you from the articles that the Line Press puts out. Apparently, according to their article, Shanghai, Beijing, and multiple other cities in China are all locked down. And the dumbed-down people go, well, that's just in China. That doesn't affect me. Well, of course it affects you, dummy. It affects the whole supply chain. Everything in your house comes from China. So if all the factories are locked down and nothing's being shipped out of China, how the hell are you going to get anything that you need for your business or your home life? I mean, Dan, over to you.
Yeah. Well,
you just make you shake your head.
I know. It's mind-numbing because I've been bitching about this dependence on foreign inputs to our economy and our country and even strategic metals coming from foreign countries. I've been bitching about that since the late 70s, early 80s, and it just falls on deaf ears. The average person in this country just doesn't give a damn. If it doesn't directly affect them and they're watching TV and their entertainment and their booze and drugs and sex, they just don't care. As one of my very good friends says recently to me, why are we fighting this revolution again, Dan? He said, show me the people that I should die in a revolution for. And I had to admit to him that the average person walking the street out here is not who I'm fighting for, obviously. I'm only fighting for the remnant. That's it. I'm fighting to protect the remnant, and that is worth dying for. But the rest of these two-legged monsters that are walking around with no empathy, no care, tied any concerns of humanity, no, I'm not going to fight for them.